Welcome to The Way Is Yah. So this is a podcast that's actually going to be based on a blog, just as my first one that was posted on various social media outlets, Reddit, Facebook, SoundCloud. Go to thewayisyah.com in order to verify links to videos, to blogs, to literature. I just self-published a book called Life, A Religious Philosophy that was just released and went live. I think Kindle ebook, it's probably just under $2, and the print form is just under $15. It's very informative. It's very entertaining. So far, the reviews are pretty good. Take a look. Give it a read. It's a quick read. I think it's only about 250 pages, something like that. 55,000 words, nothing too crazy. But it there's a lot of information in there, and it's pretty insightful. Plus, you get a background on myself, Craig Silver, and where I'm coming from with all of the messages and the actual point that I'm trying to make. There's a central theme in everything that is the way is Yah, and that's Yahweh. That's God. Saving our lives, salvation, making sure that despite all the deception going on in the world, that we actually have a way out, and there's a way to survive that God has made present for everyone. He just wants us to willingly accept it and willfully absorb it and become it, and then we will reap the benefits. So, is God dead? If you're a believer in a higher being, possibly even the proclaimed father of all creation, aka God, you may wonder why he doesn't talk to us anymore, or why does he allow so much evil? If you're anything like how I was, you're wondering, how come everyone's able to get away with so much nonsense out here? Everyone's living as if God is dead. You know, whether they want to admit it or not, you don't have to be an atheist to have in your subconscious existence the belief or the consideration that maybe God is dead, at least in a way of his lack of action or how it visibly seems. Some reasonable questions to ask is, why won't he talk to us anymore? Why does he allow so much evil? These are reasonable questions for anyone to ask. As a believer in Elohim, Yahweh, the one true God, I believe he still remains with us all. Still, for others, evidence of an active, living God may be difficult to see, especially when faced with the common evils of this world. So getting right to it, to have belief in God, let's be honest, you have to have examples of what you would accept as evidence. Personally, I would look no further than within yourself. If you have studied even basic human biology, it becomes very difficult to believe that within all the intricate complexities of the most simplistic portions of our body, that it just kind of adapted to its surroundings over a period of time. I'm not alone in my examination of the human cell or even DNA as that of only becoming of intelligent design, aka a creator. While evolution has produced a theory of new forms of life, self-developing from simpler forms of life strictly by chance, creationists, such as myself, believe that all forms of life have an origin based from design. And this is a reasonable position to hold. It's not crazy, because where one theory does not explain the origin of the explanation, the other theory, or faith-based position, is the complete explanation in its entirety. You just have to believe it. So think about it this way. The Big Bang Theory doesn't explain or even attempt to solve the question of its origin. Even if you consider the most recent chemical reaction theories, you're still left with the questions of how DNA could possess information-bearing properties if just a result of a series of incredible, odd-defying chemical reactions. So it's clear I don't believe in the evolution theory. I don't believe in Darwin. Actually, I'm not a fan of Darwin at all for numerous reasons, and I'll get into that with some other podcasts and things like that. But don't let that turn you off about the message that I have. Right now, if that bothers you because of your indoctrination of his theory being law and being evident in the creation that I see as evidence of my position, just hear me out and just put it to the side as some guy with a different opinion of yours. We're all mature. We can handle the fact that we have different opinions that vary amongst the population. Assume that I'm wrong. Talking about the topic that this podcast is based on, silent treatment is the title of the blog for this portion. And, you know, the reason why I say silent treatment is because we don't hear from God anymore. I mean, there's weirdos out there who claim they hear from God and he spoke to them. And that's a whole nother scenario. And I'm not going into that. God hasn't spoken to me audibly. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want him to. Every time I've read in the Bible that God spoke to people audibly, last time I think it was recorded in the Bible was when his son was baptized by John the Baptist. He came down in the form of a cloud and spoke audibly to all those present, saying that this was his son, that he's very well pleased. Everyone was frightened. Another time when Jesus went up to a mountain, he came down and everyone was frightened. I don't want to hear from God audibly. I'm not ready for it. I'm not mentally ready for it. Let's just keep it the way it is. So even if you only subscribe to the possibility of a designer, as some have concluded with ancient alien theories of our planet being seeded with human life created by some higher being, it would not be that far-fetched to accept the argument of those whose faith lay within the Bible. In the Bible, God has a name. It's Yahweh, not Lord, not God, not all of these titles that are presented in many of our modern translations. It's Yahweh, who's mentioned as having walked in the Garden of Eden and speaking directly to the first man and woman and even their son Cain. He spoke with Noah audibly, his sons, Abraham, Moses. So why has he not spoken to us in over 2,000 years? Some say he's mad at us. Some say it's something we said. You know, we're getting the silent treatment from God. The bottom line is God's still with us. He communicates with us in other ways besides audibly. The Bible mentions the other ways that God has communicated in the past, and I believe many are still in use today. Angels are described as messengers having been used. And you can recall this when Gabriel spoke to the soon-to-be mother of Yeshua HaMashiach, translated from Hebrew to mean Jesus the Messiah. Mary, who is actually an English translation from Hebrew, which is Miriam, which I would believe would better translate into Miriam, but that's a whole nother podcast. And that's in the book of Luke. God is also mentioned as speaking to individuals in dreams or visions in the Bible, but the number one way he communicates is through his word, the Bible. If you read this book, you're going to know that that's God speaking to you. And after you read the book, you're going to know that it's really not necessary for him to audibly speak to you. Everything you need is in the book. And I'm serious. Everything you need is in this book. There's no need to have a communication with him audibly. Technically, the Bible wasn't completed as we know it until the first century. Everything we need to know and anything about anything we would need to talk to him about is actually written in this book. The past, the present, and the future is even foretold in the book. It's completed in print and digitally available in over 3,000 languages. There's no reason not to possess or read a copy of the oldest known best-selling writing in human history. That's the Bible. Why so many people are against it, you have to sit back, look, and wonder why such an old book is not studied in our schools, is not a requirement of all the great literature and the classics that we're told in school. We know of Hemingway, we know of Shakespeare, we know of all these different writers, but nobody ever talks about the Bible. It's some sort of faux pas, some sort of taboo because it's so freaky. Well, here's the thing. The book is important and there's a reason why no one's being promoted to read it, generally speaking, in the world. And that's because there's a great deception to keep us from reading the book. Now, if you're like me, as soon as someone tells you not to do something or to look the other way, you do the exact opposite, because now you're like, what are you hiding from me? The Bible needs to be read. It needs to be understood. It's the word of your creator. I'm pretty sure that's something that would be important to rational people. You're a rational person, aren't you? We all are. Yeah. If you're commuting to work while listening to this, we all know that that's a joke. But anyway, so some of the most common questions ever presented include, if there is a God, and a loving one at that, why would God ever allow all the evil that exists on earth to exist? I mean, there are such things as human trafficking, sex slavery, baby cancer. If God is real, or not dead, how could he allow any of it? Some say God is responsible for it, which is not the case at all. God did not take your loved one or kill someone in a natural disaster just because they were sinners. He didn't do any of it at all. The day and the life of an average human being is mostly coincidental, while usually anything outright evil in nature should have blame placed on the enemy of God, if anyone needs to have blame for the occurrence. If you read the Bible, an explanation is given for the woes of the earth and all of its evils in Revelation 12. Verse 12. So let's read it. But before we get started, I just want to make sure that if you're new to The Way Is Yah, you understand that I read from a different translation. Nothing to be alarmed about. It's called the Hallelujah Scriptures. Feel free to look it up online, hallelujahscriptures.com. You can actually get your own translation. None of the translations are for resale. They don't even sell them. It's a donation basis only, and they strictly do a word-for-word translation of the scriptures from Hebrew to English that may be, you know, unfamiliar to some, because they use a number of words that are Hebrew, directly Hebrew, such as the name of our Creator. They use Yahweh. They don't use God, Lord, you know, titles. They use exactly how it was written in the original text in Hebrew, and they keep it that way. Just like all the other names that are in the Bible, instead of Joshua, they use Yahshua. Instead of 1 Samuel, they use Shemuel. Instead of Joel, they say Yoel. Instead of Jonah, it's Yonah. Instead of Jesus, they use Yeshua. And that's the only difference here. And there's different types of translations out there. I have a blog and a video, and I'm about to write a book on different translations of the Bible. But there's two different types of translations. There's word for word, and then there's thought for thought, where the translator reads a scripture of text and then decides in their language how they're going to portray it. Is it a word for word, or are they going to make it easy to be understood in their language, especially from Hebrew, which doesn't translate to any other language very well, to be honest with you, the general message that was being intended there. This is a word for word study scripture book that I use. Sometimes I use the New American Standard Translation, which I love. But you can read along with the King James Version if you like. You can read along with the New International Version if you like. They're all generally good. The reason why I'm so particular with my translations is because I grew up in a religion that had its own translation, and they manipulated some scriptures to support their own doctrine. And as a result, I'm very weary of translations into my language from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, the three languages originally scribed for the Bible. I'm very weary of that. There's nothing added to this translation. It's not like the Book of Mormon with new scriptures. It's not, there's nothing taken away like the New World Translation, aka the Jehovah's Witness Bible. There's nothing added like the Quran, and there's nothing left out, aka the Torah, which literally only considers the first half of our Bible rather than the second covenant, the renewed covenant, which is also known as the New Testament. So moving on, let's read Revelation 12:12. Because of this, rejoice, O Shamayim, which is heaven in Hebrew, and you will dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has little time. That's right. The devil himself is responsible. He's described as having been cast out of heaven to the earth, having great wrath, knowing he has little time. So think about it like this way. There's a psychopathic killer on death row. He escapes prison and he's loose in the home of the person that got him convicted. It's literally that simple. Satan is responsible for the evils on earth, even described as a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. The question still remains, though. Why has God allowed the devil to attack his children if he's the responsible party? The Bible explains that the devil has been limited in his ability to harm us, especially those faithful to God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, if you read that. But the Adon is trustworthy. Adon, or Adon, A-D-O-N, is also short for Adonai, which, if you're familiar with Hebrew, then you know that's master or my master, constantly used to refer to Jesus or Yeshua when he was on earth, and also refer it to equally to God. So reads 2 Thessalonians 3:3 through 5, but the Adon is trustworthy, who shall establish you and guard you from the wicked one. And we trust in the Adon as to you, both that you do and shall do what we command you. And the Adon directs your heart into the love of Yahweh and into the endurance for Messiah. The purpose of it all is to test the faith of God's children. And God wants true servants that love him with their whole heart and whole soul. The first man and woman failed that test and were cursed. You can read all about it in Genesis chapter 3. This is part of the result of Satan's and their disobedience. If you are faithful to God, you can be assured that you will not experience a trial beyond your ability, and God will make a way of escape for you. And you can read that promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which I will read as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And Elohim, which is in Hebrew, directly translated Almighty God. So back to it. And Elohim is trustworthy, who shall not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able, but with the trial shall also make the way of escape, enabling you to bear it. So if you read that scripture correctly, he's not saying that, you know, he's going to always take you out of the situation. Sometimes you're going to remain in that situation and you're going to be tested, and you're going to be tested to the end. But he's going to always make a way of escape for you. That escape could be removing the pain. That escape could be taking you completely out of the situation. It really all depends on the circumstances, the situation, and the will of God at that time. So back to the psychopathic killer on death row that escaped prison loose in our home, the people that got him convicted. Because if you really think about it, that's not a very crazy scenario. That's actually what is happening right now. Eve got him and herself, along with Adam and all of their children and descendants, aka you and I, thrown into this pit of sin and punishment and curse. And who do you think Satan blames for that? You think he blames himself? He doesn't blame himself. He's not going to accept accountability for the outcome. He hates God because of the situation that he's in. He despises the fact that he has less power than him, but yet still feels he deserves to be in our God's position. This is the maniac that's running loose amongst us. And so you should be aware of how Satan operates. First of all, you need to believe he exists. You know, there was a time when I didn't even think Satan existed. This is how he manipulates the world. You may be familiar with the term. It was popularized in a Hollywood movie. You may be familiar with the term. The greatest trick that Satan ever played on the world was convincing them that he didn't exist. This is very, very true. This is the man's, this is the entity's MO. Okay, and he's incredibly intelligent, described in the Bible as being wise, wiser than a lot, if not most of the other angels, known for being beautiful, known for holding a position as an angel in high rank in heaven. And now he's down here with us, pissed off that he got thrown into the ghetto, basically, and he's taking it out on us. He knows he's doomed for death, eternal death. He's taken every single person that he can get his hands on with him. And I mean, really, in all honesty, how is that really surprising? Because if I was in his situation, I'm not going to lie, I'd probably do the same thing. Because I'll be blaming you, I'll be blaming him, I'll be blaming everybody who was responsible for putting me in this situation. It's like I commit a crime, I go to prison, but I'm pissed off that I'm in prison because I got caught. So now I'm pissed off and I got a vendetta set against the person who caught me. That security guard at the bank who pulled out a gun and held me prisoner until the police came. Now I'm going to get out of prison and I'm going to go after that security guard that got me into this situation, instead of sitting back thinking, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't have robbed the bank. That's the situation we're dealing with right now with this maniac. You have to understand he's real. You have to understand what his agenda is. It's simple. It's clear. It's concise. And it's predictable. The problem is, it's ingenious in the ways that he can manipulate it. Not much has changed from the Garden of Eden. Not all tragedy is directly by Satan's hand. He didn't forcibly make the first man and woman eat the forbidden fruit. He didn't tell them to do so. Read the scripture. He didn't tell them to eat it. He simply approached Eve, the weaker of the two, the younger of the two, and said, "Is it true? God told you that if you ate from that tree, that this would happen, you was going to die, this, that, and the third." And she's like sitting back going, "Oh, yeah, maybe he did lie to me so I wouldn't be like him." That's why, even though it was kind of unfair, God had to punish her too. Okay, and especially Adam. Don't get me started with Adam. Adam knew God. Adam walked in the garden with God. He knew better than to listen to his probably extremely beautiful naked female gift Eve and say, "Hey, I ate from it, I ain't dead." He knew what he was doing, she knew what she was doing, and Satan knew what he was doing, all three of them, and they all deserved what they got. And I'm sorry that I have to deal with what I had to deal with, and this life was so horrible, and I'm sorry your life was so horrible, but you know what? It's temporary. It's temporary. Read my book, read my video, read my blogs, watch my videos. All of this comes out in the full message and presentation. And it's all about your life. Look, some tragic events are simply coincidental. And an occurrence formed from only related circumstances of evil that Satan may or may not have had a hand in. So yes, the world has grown to become a huge network of people implanted with satanic seeds of evil growing into dark jungles of nothing short of your worst nightmares. But Satan is the reason for the infection, whether he is directly responsible or indirectly responsible for the occurrence that you may be observing someone or suffering directly yourself. So, yes, God is allowing it all to happen, and that may be true. But that doesn't mean he's dead. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about us. He explains clearly in the Bible that it's only for a short period of time. And you're going to be able to read all about it in the book of Revelation. I implore you to read that book. People are scared of the book of Revelation. You know, in the religion I grew up in, they basically portrayed the book of Revelation in a unique light. And I don't agree with how they portrayed it, because they skipped a lot of major points. And the major points in the message is not to be construed and misused like other religions have. Like, you know, Catholicism takes the book of Revelation. First of all, they don't even quote it directly, but they basically twisted it into their own, do what we say or you're going to burn in hell. You know, that's not the message that God intended with the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was a gift. It was a gift. It was a picture of the future. And what you need to do in order to survive. What's coming is going to come, and nobody's going to stop it. It's been foretold. No one's going to prove God a liar. It's going to happen exactly how it was foretold. And if you want to avoid it, here's what you got to do. Read the book of Revelation, please. You can read all about it. It's the job of everyone that wants to survive to remain faithful to God. Develop and maintain a strong relationship through prayer and stand strong against being used or actively performing any act of evil. Satan is using us all. He knows what our weaknesses are individually. They haven't changed throughout thousands and thousands of years of our existence. Well, you think you're special? You're not special. I'm not special. None of us are special, and nothing happening now is new. The iPod and the iPad and the iPhone, that technology might be new to us. Might be new, but we ain't new. It's all the same. It's all the same. And to him, it's probably a torturous existence. Imagine being in prison. This is a prison planet for Satan and everyone he convinced to follow him. And they don't have a chance to survive. There's no forgiveness for them. They don't deserve it. God loves us. We got forgiveness. There's no forgiveness for the demons that were once in heaven, stood next to, side by side with the almighty creator of all. They got to see things we could only dream about. And they decided to be convinced to go down to earth because God's female creation was so beautiful, so pretty, and he wasn't doing nothing. Hey, you know what? Let's see if we can go down there and mingle with them, make some babies, see what's up with this sex thing that looks so great. They saw what happened to Satan. They saw what happened to Eve and all of the descendants. They did die, just as God promised. Why on earth? Earth, would you ever be convinced to follow this creature into the demise of being damned for the rest of your life and punished for the rest of your life in the terrible conditions that you read about in Revelation, which, by the way, is plain as English can be. Hellfire doctrine is all as horrible as it may be and presented in history. It's true, okay? And at the end of the day, you got to look at how cunning Satan has to be in order to convince creatures that were around watching everything transpire, everything happen, and still got convinced to go down to earth and do something that they knew had to be wrong. And then they got what they got. And now they're damned with Satan as well. This is a very intelligent creature. Someone who is incredibly smart. You need to recognize how smart he is. There's a lot of us who are incredibly arrogant. I used to be part of you. I was. I thought a little too highly of myself. Ain't nothing special about me. Ain't nothing special about you. But God loves us anyway. You ain't smarter than Satan. You're not. Where you are and how you're not completely devoured by Satan every day is only due to the love and the grace of God. And that goes for unbelievers as well. Because if Satan had the ability to just walk up, flick his thumb, and vaporize you. He would. He would. Look what he does to his followers. Have you heard anything about the satanic cults and the satanic rituals and the ritual sexual abuse and all of the things going on in the dark, dark dregs of our society? Satan gets a hold of you and he's allowed to do what he wants to do to the maximum of his allowed ability. It's horrific. God is protecting every single last one of us. Every single last one of us. And it would be way worse if there was no protection. You're being tested. You have to stay faithful. You have to understand how real this is. You're going to remember this when we're judged. And if you fail, you're going to be like, dang, I should have listened to Craig. I should have done it the way is Yah. Dang. Listen, all jokes aside, I don't want to end on a real dreary, scary note. But we're past the 30-minute mark. And I really don't like going past 25 minutes. So I want to thank you for being with me today. Thank you for supporting The Way is Yah. Please check out the website. If you want to donate to this ministry so that you can help me further my goal of reaching people and saving lives, I'd appreciate it. Check out thewayisyah.com. There's so many different things you can do. If you want to volunteer, you want to do anything, go to thewayisyah.com. Send me a message. Let's talk. Let's figure it out. I'm not so big yet that I can't talk to everyone. So, you know, and also be kind in the comments also. You know, I mean, look, in my heart, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about things, you know, so be kind and love your fellow man. It's one of the greatest commandments. All right. Thank you so much. Thewayisyah.com. Have a good day.